Welcome to the Raw Food Health Empowerment Podcast. This is your host, Samantha Salmon, Certified Integrative Nutrition Coach and Brain Health Licensed Trainer. And we're here today on Earth Day talking about the power of temptation and how cravings in particular became my secret weapon. Here on the Raw Food Health Empowerment Podcast, every day is Earth Day. We are living in the high raw vegan lifestyle is one that's living in accordance with nature, living in a way that supports our own health, supports the health of the environment around us also. And in my quest to support healthy brains in society with the enlightenment that I had, the understanding that brains run organizations. Brains are running households, they're running institutions, they're running governments. And if these brains are being fed just processed foods and no greens and fruits, then we are in trouble because the lack of blood flow and proper nourishment to the prefrontal cortex, to the temporal lobes, this is how you end up in a society where people are under a crazy spell of malignant narcissists who create stress and disharmony in society. But it's not just happening on a national level, it's happening in our homes, at work, in different places where folks are having dysbiosis, emotional imbalance, and even gut dysbiosis that's causing cognitive issues. And because I have this awareness, I spread the message because I'm on the journey with you all, and I think it's imperative for us to focus in on this. It just so happens that the same lifestyle and nutrition protocol for a healthy brain is one that's also supportive of a healthy cardiovascular system, helping the body to be as cancer resilient as possible given our given environmental factors. And also setting us up to prevent and reverse type 2 diabetes as well, because these aren't really separate issues. A toxic, sick food system and environment perpetuates the chronic diseases that we have, which impacts the brain in a negative way and causes disharmony in families, in communities, and in society. So the solution is basically the same, but the reason why we do it can vary from person to person. So this is my quest, and this is my challenge to you. It is Earth Day. Focusing in on the health of yourself and your family is the most imperative thing to do in this moment. It will affect the earth in a positive way, right? Because unhealthy brains are destroying the earth, which is then in turn destroying our own health. Right now you have State Attorney Letitia James suing PepsiCo for the distribution of plastic bottles and their unethical marketing, because the marketing is that, oh, these bottles are recyclable, but actually no one's recycling them and they're ending up everywhere. All the plastics have ended up in the waterways. People are eating fish and in turn eating plastic alongside other environmental chemicals that our land has been exposed to over the years, because in this country we have a history of approving the release of chemicals and then waiting for people to get sick and report it in before we decide to ban or start to look into certain things, because it's a pay-to-play system out here in America. Things are really different in Europe, where a lot of the chemicals that are allowed in our food supply is banned in Europe until they can prove to be safe. And so far, a lot of them have been proven to be unsafe and adding to mental health issues for our young people, especially these colored dyes and artificial flavorings and preservatives and all sorts of chemicals in foods that's marketed to children. But on that note of unhealthy foods being marketed to kids, addictive patterns in our gut microbiome, definitely all of that is being formed fresh as young people, and our brains aren't fully developed until mid-20s. So you can just see the impact that eating these types of foods, like I did, the Frosted Flakes, the Honey Nut Cheerios, these highly processed, nutrient-void foods what that does to the brain and its ability to learn, retain information, and do well in school, to have proper emotional balance, to have harmonious relationships with the other people around, family members, friends. And this addiction, because what we eat affects our gut microbiome, we see now in the scientific research that our gut microbiome can perpetuate addiction. We have pathogenic bacteria that send neurotransmitters to the brain, basically messages saying, hey, I want this thing that I used to have. It may not be great for you on a physical level, but I want it. And you see it as a craving, right? Because you haven't yet mastered your mind, which I go into in my trainings. Not every thought you think, one, is yours, right? Because we are hosts for parasites, for bacteria, opportunistic pathogens. So typically when we're getting a message of a craving for something, that's not necessarily us, because we've already decided we wanted to be health conscious eaters, right? The moment you clicked on this video or you're listening to my podcast, you have decided to be a health conscious eater. You're leaning into the conversation. So clearly you're interested. But why would a health conscious eater have the thought, I want to eat something that is not healthy? That's because it's not you. It's not you at all. And this bacteria that thrives on unhealthy processed food also can contribute to addiction of like alcohol and things like this. And because we believe our brain and we give in to these impulses, either because we think it's true, we think it's us, we think it's real, or our prefrontal cortex is actually not well. And so we're not able to really fully think through the consequences. This is the impact of not having tended to brain, right? Where we're not making wise decisions. We decided to live a health conscious lifestyle for whatever reason, but the prefrontal cortex, which is the CEO of our brain, thinking through consequences, is not able to think through those consequences. And therefore, we just jump into actions that are unwise, that lead us to sickness and disease. And maybe some of you are already in that state. Maybe you've had a diagnosis of some kind, maybe type 2 diabetes or cancer or something like this, that has motivated you to start on a healthy eating pattern or a healthy eating regimen. But you feel, maybe your mind is telling you, I am not strong enough to resist temptation. Okay? If that's you, I need you to lean in. Lean in. Where is the temptation coming from? I would love to hear. If you're watching on YouTube, tell me in the comments below, where is the temptation coming from? So I've heard from folks, you know, almost just about everybody who comes to me, they're looking to maintain consistent healthy eating. So they haven't yet fully mastered it for themselves. They're still eating foods they know they shouldn't be eating because it's working against their health goals. But they want other people, they want their family members to already be on that track. And I think I have come to feel like people want this because we don't want to be the only, because I've literally heard this from some folks. I have fear of social isolation. If I make the change that I know I'm supposed to make with my diet, I will be the only one in my family, in my community, that is eating this way. And I don't want to be the only one. I would love for you to think about this, right? Think through what happens. Then what? You eat clean and you become healthy. You get to a healthy size. You no longer have type 2 diabetes. You no longer have cancer. What happens then? The only thing I can think of, because I've seen it happen, is that one, with the diagnosis and you working to heal yourself, you become an expert on what you just had to overcome. So let's say you had cancer and type 2 diabetes. And in order to heal from that, you have to learn about those diseases. How did you get to this point? And how can you overcome it? What's your best chance of survival and having a full quality of life? On that journey, you become an expert in this. And then you have the lived experience of having gone through it and healed yourself. Okay, Now, you become a model of inspiration for the people around you. We are most like the five people we spend the most time around. So if you have everybody around you walking towards death and destruction with their diet and lifestyle, my question to you is, why would you follow them? You have two options, right? You follow them into death and destruction and sacrifice your family in the process because we need you here. Your family needs you. Or you decide to step out and become a health leader for your family and your community by focusing first on yourself and then getting to a place where you are just beaming light, positivity, and hope for people who are dealing with what you've just overcome. It's hard to step out to be the only to be a leader. I know that because even with me, after experiencing what I experienced with my grandmother, which was very traumatic, okay? Her life, this being pricked with a needle every single day for over a decade is not my idea of fun, okay? Or quality of life. Plus the fact that she was really sedentary because at this point now, she's obese because why? Partly, I feel, because of the medication that she was taking. But she had a whole bunch of health issues. So she was sedentary. And then when it came down to the end, where she was home on hospice care, the pain she was in, the drawn out pain before her death. We don't even put animals, well, in our factory farming system, we do. When we love animals back in the day, you know, we have a pet or something, we don't keep them in that kind of torturous state. But my grandma had to be given permission to let go. My mom said she gave her permission. She said it's okay. My grandmother wanted to be here. She had 8 kids. She had almost 20 grandchildren. She wanted to be here. But we weren't given the option to extend her life and reverse her diabetes because we were not given the information on how to do that. It wasn't until 3-4 years later that I found out that you can actually reverse type 2 diabetes with a whole food vegan diet. That would have changed the game for our entire family. Her death impacted all of us on many levels, right? Before her death, she was the wise sage. I don't know if any of you have watched the movie Pocahontas. Pocahontas always goes to the tree, the wise tree, right? We all need that. We all need that energy in our family. And whatever space you think that you hold in your family, right? Maybe it's not the wise tree. Maybe it's some other space. Maybe you're the comedian. We need that too. We need that. All of us, we have different flavors in our family and we need all of them. This is what makes life more livable, more bearable, more enjoyable because life is hard. When people say life be life, it is hard. So why make it harder on your loved ones by cutting out early with a slow suicide with bad decisions? Following in a destructive path doesn't help you and it doesn't help your loved ones. It doesn't help your children. It doesn't help your spouse. All the people you're concerned about with changing your diet. And yes, it's going to be hard because you're going to be the first. And being the first is hard. Yeah? Being the first is hard. That's why I provide support. That's what coaching is here for. For if you need support, if you need to tap into a health conscious person, you don't have that around you. You don't have people that you could lean into to be a little bit more like, to help give you the energy to keep going on the health journey to overcome and to stay consistent. You tap in with a coach, get connected, get the support that you need, become the health leader. So I was sharing with you, I witnessed what my grandma went through and even opened a brick and mortar business with my husband, sharing the message, sharing the lifestyle. But it wasn't until I got to LA and started to interact with LA Food Policy Council and was invited to be a part of the inaugural cohort of Food Leaders Lab. I felt like a newborn baby. I felt so out of my element. I was like, man, all these people are so smart. They got all these degrees and they're so wise. Who am I? You know? To be in this space talking about I want to eradicate type 2 diabetes in this country. How foolish do I sound? I felt so small and it was very uncomfortable. But I was in the right space because it was Food Leaders Lab, and it's like an incubator for people who are really passionate about food justice. And you learn all sorts of things, but you get connected with other people like you who care about the state of affairs of what's going on in our communities and how we're being impacted by all sorts of things going on. And this was really empowering because what happened being in that space, people poured into me, people I respected and admired and I definitely resonated with and was learning so much from was pouring into me. And so I went from having a confidence of this level to it growing and blossoming into someone who could step up into leadership to help pass food policy, which we did in fact do. And it was hard, and it was during a very difficult time of the pandemic. And I had a lot of stuff going on. It was very difficult emotionally, energetically, but it was great because when you're in something like this with a group of people who are as passionate as you are, as focused as you are, working on something hard together, when you come out on the other side, you come out as best friends. The bonds that are formed in this situation. And then you learn, what I learned in that whole journey is like, it's not just me. God has called me, he's put this message in my heart to eradicate type 2 diabetes in this country. But he didn't just call me. He called a whole army of people. And we're all working on this problem, on this issue, from different perspectives, from different lived experiences, from different skill sets, all working on this issue. And so I'm calling you because if you find yourself in a situation with a diagnosis and you decide to step into a coaching call with me and you get the information you need to change your life, to come out successful on the other side, to become a health leader in your family and your community, this is what God is calling you to do, to be the model, be the example. Why would he give you something you couldn't handle? Why would he do that? If you are a person of faith, that's something to really pray about. Pray about it and tune into it. And leaning in on that when it comes to temptation, okay? Temptation is all around us because we are in a toxic food environment and you are strong enough with the proper planning, right? So I have a training that I'm doing, which by the time you see this, I probably would have done that training already. But definitely join my email list. You can download the Healthy Digestion Recipe Book to get on my email list for the next time I do a training around this. But I recently had a training on beet stress eating, where we talked about specifically how to deal with temptation, unhealthy food addiction. But I'm going to tell you my secret weapon for dealing with cravings is I'm a self-proclaimed glutton, okay? I realized this a long time ago, and that's why I felt like the raw food diet was for me, because I wasn't ready or willing to eat less. I didn't want to eat less. I like food. And like, why eat less? Life's too short. I always say, listen, these cows are so lucky. They got 4 stomachs they could fit food in. I wish I was a cow with 4 stomachs. But then you see the food system. You're like, thank God I didn't come in as a cow, because they are not respected at all. But so as a glutton, how I have historically dealt with food cravings, which even now I still do, but there are other things to it, which I go deeper into my Conquer Your Cravings 3-month intensive, is dealing with cravings with food. So there's typically only 2 big cravings that folks have, at least the folks that come to me, and even ones that I've experienced. It's either a craving for salt or a craving for sugar or something sweet. And typically when we're craving salt, we want to run to processed foods because that's something we've always done. We just keep doing what we've always done. What I challenge you to do is when you get that craving for the salt, let's say it's chips or something like this, right? Think in your head that you're going to go home and make a big salad, well seasoned, or maybe some roasted vegetables or something, whatever it is, cruciferous vegetables, quinoa, whatever it is you like that is a whole food vegan dish, and season it to the T. I'm talking about sea salt, apple cider vinegar, use coconut aminos if you want to, add in the sun-dried tomatoes, add in the artichokes, which have a natural like salty flavor to it. If you want even some more salt, you can add some olives or something like this. Whatever it is that you enjoy, season it to the nine and the T and get full. When you're full, you don't have cravings because you're so stuffed, okay? This is what's worked for me. I stuff my face with healthy food, with greens, with cruciferous vegetables, and I season it properly. And I no longer feel for chips. I no longer feel for any highly processed salty food. Now, when it comes to something sweet, you want to make sure you got fruits on deck, right? Fruits to dig into, a smoothie you can make, and go ham. Don't hold back. And that's the whole thing with eating raw, especially in the beginning as you're trying to do this, because in the beginning of going into healthier eating, right, your gut microbiome is going through a change. And we talked about earlier in this episode about how the bacteria is driving unhealthy food addiction because it's used to ultra processed foods and some of the damaging foods you've been eating. So it's going to send messages to the brain that you want more of that because that's what it thrives on. If you stop eating that food, you starve off that bacteria. So I have even other strategies that I use to starve that bacteria off even more so you can reset your gut microbiome, start from scratch, completely extricate yourself from the matrix of the toxic food system. But in the beginning, you're making these healthy food changes, and what happens little by little, gradually, the food, the healthy bacteria that thrives on healthy food is going to call more for it. The unhealthy bacteria that thrives on unhealthy food is going to be starved off because it's not getting what it needs. And then eventually over time, the temptation becomes more and more muted, right? It goes from being maybe like a wasp to like a gnat, you know? And so it's not that big of an issue anymore and can completely go away depending on some other strategies that you can also utilize. But this is has been the biggest thing for me in the beginning is squashing cravings with actual whole foods, healthy foods, and proper seasoning. And if you want to understand how to do that, download my healthy digestion recipe book. It's for you for free, and I hope to be in touch. I do hope this episode was helpful for you this Earth Day. Definitely think about yourself and your gut microflora as the garden that you need to be tending to, right? This is the outside world inside that you really need to focus in on. If we want to have a healthy environment, a healthy world, you focusing on your gut microbiome is going to make that happen. I assure you. All right. With that, have a blessed day.